Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
To know that whatever is going on, whatever has happened, whatever will happen, it is in the hands of the Lord.
Amen.
And we will continue to praise Him and rely upon Him in the greatest of times, the worst of times, because He is our Heavenly Father. And He has promised us His love, His grace, to give us everything that we need so that we can honor Him.
Amen.
Turn your Bibles to Psalm 107, verses 13 and 14. Last month, when I preached, I talked about running the race and about how we all have a race that is set before us. My race is different than yours, yours from mine. But in reality, we're all in the same race together. Our job is to fulfill what God has placed in our life to accomplish for His will and not our own. And sometimes that race is scary. It's wrought with the unknown. And sometimes we don't understand why we have to do the things that we have to do. But it's not about the why, like Pastor preached. It's about the what. What would you have me do, Lord? Psalm 107, 13, 14 says this. They cried to the Lord in their troubles, and He rescued them. He led them from the darkness and shadow of death and snapped their chains. Are we crying out to the Lord this morning? We need to cry out every day for direction and for guidance. None of us will ever, let me say that again, none of us will ever do it on our own. The Christian who earnestly recognizes this and goes to the Heavenly Father is growing. This is the difference between a maturing Christian and a stagnant Christian. Let's call this stagnant Christian the shadow Christian, for all intents and purposes. He's a cranky guy. He does not smile easily. And when he does, the smile often has kind of a cruel edge to it. And it's always coming at someone else's expense. He has a knack for discovering islands of bad news and oceans of happiness. He is the one that sits in the pews on Sunday morning, minding his own business, clocking in the couple hours that his soul requires to have peace with God. The shadow never changed. His native tongue was unwholesome and not uplifting in spirit. It was just as detrimental to his walk as others when he spewed out complaints, gossip, sarcasm, and a dry sense of humor that spoke sincerely of how he really felt. He was projecting his self-image. The person who he really is. And occasionally the shadow's joylessness produced unintended joy for others. You see where I'm going here? There are periods of time when the shadow's primary complaints centered around the music in the church. There are too many songs, or it's too traditional, or it's too loud. or the preaching is not long enough. Not a problem here, right? Or that the service is too long. The shadow is not changing. Once an idle, complacent young Christian, the shadow grew up to be an idle, complacent, old Christian. The shadow could not say proudly at his deathbed that he has fought the good fight, or that he has kept the faith, or that he finished the race. His regret consumed him as his life flashed before his eyes, and he knew his despondent ways were not the ways of his heavenly Father. Welcome to refining Christian maturity. Step one, we must make a humbling decision this morning that we are helpless to do anything good in our life. Let me explain. Romans 7:18 says this: I know nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have a desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. This is the reality step here. And it's the hardest one to begin at. Realize that I am not God, and that I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing, and my life is unmanageable. The great thing is all of our lives are unmanageable because we're human. In reality, I realize that I have problems that I seem to not be able to control, but am I going to let past failures prevent me from taking this road to maturity? That's what we need to be asking. Am I afraid to change? Or what are my fears for the future? Last month, it's funny, I got to go one and then wait 4 weeks later, so bear with me. But we talked about Hebrews 12:1. And there's two other things that I want to point out in this verse that I didn't get to with you last time. And that is, God has a particular race, a unique plan for each of us, a plan for good, not a life full of dependencies, impurities, or possessions, or obsessions. We need to be willing to get rid of all the unnecessary baggage. Have you ever ran a race with weights behind you? Does it make it easier? Does it help you get quickly to where you need to go? Has it ever been beneficial for you to rely upon past mistakes, failures, inadequacies? Are those the things that help propel you in life? I would venture to say no. Many of us are stuck in bitterness over what someone has done to us or what we have done to them, or stuck in bitterness over something that has happened in the past or maybe just this morning. Don't allow those things to live in your head rent free. They stay in there and they periodically come up again and again, reminding us that we are not the Christian that we should be. Reading God's word and following his teachings will allow us to find the courage, to find the strength, to move on and into maturity. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that what we all desire in this life? To grow in Christ Jesus? Why are we sitting here? There are plenty of people that can come in and keep that seat warm. We must be growing in Christ Jesus. That means we can't have baggage behind us, weighing us down. We can't have chains wrapped around us. Have you ever tried to run with chains on? That's even worse. They wrap at your feet. They trip you up. You see, we cannot hide from ourselves. The greatest holdup to the healing for my hang-ups, you know what it is? Me. I hold myself back. No one else does. Nothing else does. It's me. It starts by being radically honest and saying, I'm the problem. If I keep saying, if I just change relationships, if I just change jobs, if I change towns, that everything will be fine. The only problem is wherever I go, I'm there. Don't rationalize. Don't say it happened a long time ago, or it's just a stage, or everybody does it. Don't rationalize it. Don't minimize it. Don't blame others saying, well, it's mostly their fault. It may be mostly their fault, but God holds us responsible for that 10%. What about your 10%? Admit that you messed up. Do that. Admit when we messed up. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's why Jesus went to the cross, for our sins. He knows everything you've ever done and everything you've experienced and everything you will experience. But the race isn't over yet. God isn't interested in how we start, but how we finish in our road to maturity. Step two. Accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and knowing that only His Spirit can restore me to sanity. Amen. The beginning place for everything is a right relationship with God. You must first come to God on His conditions for forgiveness and salvation, not our own. That's when we start rationalizing it. Oh, well, I'll come to God after I have a weekend in the sun. I've got time. Do you? Do we have time? When we make Christ the Lord of our life, we forever surrender the right to choose whom we will love. Did you guys hear that? When we make Christ the Lord of our life, we forever, not a short period of time, this is forever, surrender the right to choose whom we will love. If the love of Christ is in me, I'm going to love everyone. Sinner and saint, I'm going to love them all. He will begin to guide our life with a mission that is solely focused on Him. If you have not been in a right and obedient relationship with God since your salvation, you need to repent. And you need to get back into that right relationship with Him so that His Spirit can flow through you. We talked about the reality step. This is the hope step. Although I am powerless to control all the problems and all the things in my life, God has the power to control them. This hope allows us not to cover up the denial from the past and try to fix things in our own power. Instead, we need to keep those things that keep us from falling and expose them to the light so that through God's power, we can truly heal. We can't hide things from anybody. And if you're tricking yourself into thinking you can, I'm going to burst your bubble. You can't. You already know that. Hope is knowing that God's word will come to pass in your life. We may not understand the events, the life, the things, the relationships, and all the things that lead up to what God has purposed us for. But it's not for us to know. It is for us to trust, to have faith, and to understand. He sits on the throne, and nothing will shake him. And he holds us in his hand. Hope is knowing and having true saving belief in the blood of Jesus Christ, trusting that he will conquer all of our fears. All of them, not some of them, all of them. It's about having true saving faith. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is being sure. Some of us are bound by guilt. We keep beating ourselves up over the same past failure. You're trapped, you're stuck in that guilt. Or on the other end of the spectrum, you lay dormant in complacency. Your prayer life is non-existent. You hardly ever read the Bible, let alone study it. Or you may tell people you will pray for them, but you don't end up praying for them. You just say those things because you think it's the right thing to say. You give false comfort to those who truly need his saving grace. And you continue to run on that treadmill, getting nowhere in life and nowhere in your growth in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:18 says, they are darkened in their understanding. They are darkened in their understanding. You see, we can get to the point where we feel like the proverbial hamster in the wheel, continually going nowhere, and yet wondering why God isn't moving in our life. Hope says, get off that revolving wheel and step into a Christ-centered life. We must have the hope that God has sent his Son into our hearts, crying for us when we're unable to. Throughout our Christian walk, we will continue to encounter trials and hurts that we are powerless to change. But with God's help, we can be open to allow those circumstances and situations to change us, to make us better, not bitter. Throughout a Christian walk, hope will open those doors, and for us as believers to move on to brighter things in our life. We see a lot of dark. But if we cling to those things, things will not get better. They'll get bitter. That doesn't mean we don't learn from these things. That's why God has placed these things here. Not for us to get beaten down, not to lose hope, not to lose faith, but to encourage us to get that much better. Encourage us to get into a healthier relationship with him. I've said this probably a dozen times in the last week, and my youth will attest to this. I say it almost every other week. As a Christian, if you are not suffering, you're not doing it right. Chew on that for a second. If you are not suffering as a Christian, you are not doing it right. Does that mean I sit in my suffering and say, oh, well, woe is me? This is what God has planned for me, so I'm just going to sit here. No, it should be the motivation that gets you to go where he wants you to go. He doesn't want you to sit there. A race is a movement. Racing requires energy. As a body of Christ, we are only as strong as our weakest link. So if you see somebody struggling, if you see somebody who definitely needs God's grace, then we are being called to minister to those individuals. Don't turn a blind eye. Don't say you're going to pray for them and don't do it. Get in there. Get in the mix. Let God use you. Let God shine through you. It's an amazing feeling. Yes, this is to God's glory, but it makes us feel good too. We need to love ourselves and understand who we are in Christ. A right relationship with Christ can bring balance to our life. And not only make life more meaningful and fulfilling to you, but it will also be far more effective in revealing the character of Christ to others. Once you have a right vertical relationship with your Heavenly Father and a balanced view of yourself, God moves you to correct relationships with others. You cannot be right with God and still have broken relationships with others. Reconciled relationships with others will clean the channel in your life so that the love of God can flow through you to others. In other words, quit being selfish. You want to understand the true love of God? Reconcile with those who won't reconcile with you. Take a step out in faith. And understand it's not going to be you that corrects that relationship. It is going to be through the Holy Spirit that comes within you and flows through you and gives you those words that are hard to say. Gives you the power, gives you the strength to do the things you don't think are humanly possible, because they're not humanly possible. It is only through God we do anything. The gospel will move through these right relationships. Refining Christian maturity is here for Christians who want to grow in maturity. It's there for the taking. The world is so very full of sickness. Many people come to the church for help. And every church that is doing what it needs to be doing realizes that all we continually do is ask for help. We come again and again for help. And guess what? God gives it. God wants to give it. He wants to use you to give it. The only tragedy is that if we do not mature and grow in Christ's love by meeting other people's needs, we become a liability. And the flow is always going inward. So we stagnate, and that hurts us. We know the state in which we're in. We know the state as we are as a church, as we sit here. But understand that this is not our worry. If we continue to let God do what he does, this is all a moot point. We can create programs. We can create activities. We can do all kinds of things that promote church health. But until you get into a right relationship with him, it's never going to grow. Nothing will grow spiritually So we need to get right with God. All of us. And if we feel like we're right with God, there's something more we could be doing. You know it. You feel it. God speaks to you. I believe with all my heart that when you have to dig deep into your spiritual well to get the living water flowing, there's something wrong with a relationship somewhere. When we're having to dig in the well, whereas before it was just flowing, there's a relationship that needs to be healed. Another step. We refine those impurities in our lives by continually allowing God's grace to work in us so that we may strive for maturity. We strive for maturity through obedience to the Lord. That's how we become spiritually mature. We listen. We act upon the things that God has laid on our heart. We don't say we're going to do it and then, it didn't happen. Let's move on to the next thing. That is how we become stagnant. And that's when God is beaten at the door saying, "What are you doing? I've laid it out for you." We make things difficult. Amos 3:3 asked, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" If they be agreed, you have to come back to accept God's conditions in total agreement with Him for the unfolding of that walk. You want to know why your walk is strained? It's because you're going on your conditions, not God's. God never leaves us. He never forsakes us. But there are certainly times we forsake Him, amen? But He's there in wait. He is ready. He is always there. He says, then if we do that, the Lord says, "I will reveal myself in your life." If you're not living in agreement with God and in obedience in Him, you need to get right with God there also. Many people lose their joy of salvation because they do not walk in obedience to the Lord. I think we can attest to that. We form barriers. And we let those barriers defeat us. Jesus says in John 14 that if you follow His commandments, then you love Him and shall be loved by the Father, and Jesus will disclose Himself to you. Jesus is saying that He will make Himself real to you. Your search for Christ is not self-disclosure. He reveals Himself. He makes Himself real. Do we want Jesus to be real for us? Then obey Him. Obey Him. I bet the times in your life when Jesus was real were the times you faced a major decision and decided to do it His way and not yours. You must say at all times, "Father, I do not care what it costs. I do not care what I have to do." The man who walks with God every day has the reality of His presence as God manifests Himself, because that is God's promise. God is alive and well in you, but is He in control? Are the barriers still there? Are they weighing you down? Is Christ free to do all He wants to do in your life? Are you obedient to Him? Jesus needs to be real in our life. If He is not as real as He used to be, perhaps need to go back and check the original problem. Obedience. Obedience. Step 6, we ignite the power of God in our lives and make amends to those whom I have harmed, and continue to take a personal moral inventory so I may not make the same earthly mistake. Luke 6:31. Is there anyone here this morning that may have harmed any someone or anything in the past, whether physically, mentally, or perhaps offended someone without knowing? It should be that easy. We should all be able to raise our hand. Not asking you to, but thank you. We should all be able to, though, right? You ignite the power of God when you own to it a personal moral inventory. When you ignite the power of God, you show your sincere love to others. You pray with your spouse at the throne of God to ignite your marriage. You have passion in your heart for the oppressed. You continually seek God in all things, not just the things you want to seek Him for. When you know you are not where you should be in your walk, you ignite the power of asking God with a humble and contrite heart to engineer His Spirit within you. You have to ask. You have to ask. And as God engineers those circumstances in your life, the lives of those around you will be affected also. As He loves the person through you by meeting his or her needs, He will begin drawing that person closer to Him and to His Son. That is the ignition of power of the Holy Spirit. Those kinds of things propel us to triumph in God's presence through prayer, meditation, and fellowship, that I may refine my life as a Christian today, claiming in all areas of my life. The key to a fulfilled life, as you've noticed, is relationships. Things do not satisfy. Relationships do. The first relationship is with the Father. The first relationship is with the Father. When He becomes Lord of our lives, we forfeit the right to choose whom we will love. And, I didn't throw an and earlier, but and He releases His love in us to build right relationships. God has to be the focus in all things, in all relationships, in all circumstances. Amen. God has to be number one. Prayer is a relationship with our Master. When we pray, we enter the throne room of heaven where the decisions that govern this universe are made. Isn't that awesome? God invites us to pray so that when He answers, we will know He did it. He will get the glory. You will learn to pray that God engineers circumstances in the lives of others to draw them to Himself and to His Son, Jesus Christ. Pretty laid out, wouldn't you say? Something so simple, but yet trips us up. They act like chains on us. They wrap around our feet, and we get nowhere. And then we recognize that baggage that we're carrying with us because we're stopped in our tracks. Oh, well, there it is. And so we sink further. But when we right the relationships in which God can only do. When we right our relationship with God, He will right the relationships that are broken in your life. All of them. All of them. Put God first. We will pray about the people in our life and watch to see where God is working in their lives. Have you ever ministered to somebody and you instantly see a change and you think, oh, God is doing a great work. God could not have done that unless you were right with Him. God cannot use us unless we are right with Him. A.W. Tozer says, I will not use a man, and this is God speaking, I will not use a man whom I have not broken first. I have to be willing to break myself to free me of all the things, all the baggage, all the chains before I am going to be able to be used for God. And if I am not willing to do that, how many opportunities am I going to let slip through my fingers in reaching others for Christ? Am I going to be so selfish to continue to live in the world instead of being here and being a witness to those who desperately seek Him? And do I want to stand before God one day and say, I didn't do everything that I could? No, I want to stand before God and say, I gave 150%. And when He says those words, well done, that's when I can rest and understand I did everything I could. And that will be sufficient for me. When people come to Christ through existing relationships with Christians, they are far more likely to follow through in establishing a growing relationship with the church, even our church. If we're not out building relationships, if we're not out there spreading the gospel, if we're not meeting the needs of those who need things done, if we're not in the workplace and we're not using that opportunity. Now, granted, I know that we live in a day and age where that makes it very difficult to do so. And not to use a cliche, but what would Christ do? Would He allow those rules? Would He allow those things of the world to stop Him? I think not. A lot of us wear masks, especially when we leave here. But as soon as we remove that mask, our road to recovery begins, or it begins again. It doesn't matter if you're a new Christian or have been a Christian for years. As you work the steps in maturity, remember this verse. And you make a reference of this one. 1 John 4:18. Where God's love is, there is no fear. Because God's perfect love drives out fear. You are not here by mistake this morning. Jesus wants to take charge of your life. And it is my prayer for each of you that you will not let your past failures or your fear of your future or simply your idleness as a Christian stop you from giving refining Christian maturity a real try. It's our obligation. We need to follow in obedience. None of us want to be in our last hour saying, I have not fought the good fight, that I have not kept the faith, and I have not finished the race. God's power can change our circumstances, and it will strengthen us in our walk, and we'll meet the Lord on that road to maturity. You see, God's power can change anything. And sometimes it takes time. It's not an immediate thing. This is not a sprint. This is a marathon. Treat it accordingly. Don't beat yourself up because you didn't do it right. Or maybe you're not doing it right now. God is there running alongside you, encouraging you, saying, no matter what is going on, I know you can handle this because I am with you. Don't quit. Don't quit before that miracle happens. God is mighty and in control of the situation, and he will work mightily in all things. Allow God to snap those proverbial chains. Allow him to lay waste to those things that weigh you down. Allow God to do what he already said he's going to do. Be obedient. Run the race God has laid out before you. Don't be idle. Surround yourself with those who encourage you. Surround yourself with those who need your encouragement, so that we can all one day say, I have finished the race. I have given that 150%. So we're not left wondering, am I saved? You bet I'm saved, and here's why. Because I'm doing exactly what God asked me to do. And that is just be obedient. To love him. To love on others as he would love them. Allow him to work through us to reach those for Christ. Stand together with me as we pray. Before we pray, just a little business. Continue to pray for Pastor as he's not feeling well. Pray for Awana tonight. It is in my heart's desire to see that program grow here, to see young people reached for Christ. A lot of preparation has gone into us well before we said we were going to start this in April. This is something Pastor and I have talked about for years, about seeing young people filter into this church so that those who have been a part of this church, been in part of God's fold, can teach them because they so desperately need it. So I ask that you have a special prayer for them this evening. Be in prayer for our congregation. There are many that are out, ill, having procedures done, grieving. Be their encouragement. Help them. Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you are strength to those who suffer, and comfort to those who grieve. Let the prayers of your children who are in trouble rise to you. We claim your promises of wholeness, and as we pray for those who are ill and suffering loss and long for your healing touch, make the weak strong, Lord, the sick healthy, the broken whole, and confirm those who serve them as agents of your love. To everyone in distress, grant mercy, grant relief, grant refreshment. And as we begin to rebuild, we commend our neighborhoods to your care. Give us strength of purpose and concern for others, that we may create a community where your will may be done. You are a God of compassion. You watch our ways and you weave out of terrible happenings and leave us with wonders of goodness and grace. Surround those who have been shaken by tragedy with a sense of your present love and hold them in faith. Though they are lost in grief, may they find you and be comforted. Through Jesus Christ, who was dead but lives and rules this world with you, we thank you for your blessings. And as we move on to the remainder of this day, Lord, keep us mindful of who you are. You love us. You take care of us. And may we always seek your counsel and rely upon your promises. You sit on the throne, and you are in control. We are ever grateful for this, and we will always be grateful for this. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a great day.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.